You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
If you like the efficiency of the post office, the competence of FEMA, and the compassion of the IRS, we will love the nationalized health care bill.
Robert Scott Bell.
The British Medical Journal accused a researcher, Andrew Wakefield, of outright fraud.
People need to look at the details and not look at the headlines.
This is like Salem, the visceral response that they're trying to whip up in the public to try and crush this dissent.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
After yesterday's discussion about no shots, no school, not true, we get more propaganda coming from the old media again. And this is it. Back to school. August is back to school time. The whole month they gear up. Get those kids shot up like the pincushions that they have become. Like I was as a child. Like your child, thankfully, doesn't have to be. As long as you're not under the hypnotic spell of the old media. This first story as we kick off today's Robert Scott Bell Show is from USA Today. Article written by Liz Sabo. And she writes, many teens miss out on life-saving vaccines. They never write, many teens saved by not taking life-terminating vaccines. Or how about the many children and infants whose lives have been ended or horribly corrupted by vaccines? Yesterday on the show, we had Marcella Piper Terry, and this was in relation to the story that triggered it all, Steve Pryor. And his 22-month-old son, he lost his 22-month-old son to vaccinations. It was his birthday, and to celebrate, these billboards are popping up all over to give meaning to the life of one who was lost in this case. And in the story, though, the propaganda is utilizing it on the other side. They try to have you, well, I guess the reality is you can't prove a negative. Right, we can show that the vaccine, the kid was fine, they had the vaccine, then the kid was not fine, or the kid was terminated. Death, it was over. But they don't acknowledge the reverse. In other words, there's this proof of a negative that can't be done. They go to parents who have tragically lost their children from diseases that are claimed to be vaccine preventable. And they use these parents to promote an agenda of vaccines for all. Despite the fact that there is no evidence that having had the vaccine, that a child would not have gotten that disease. And that includes one of the scariest, fastest moving bacterial infectious diseases known to man. We call it meningococcal meningitis, bacterial meningitis, spinal meningitis. And yes, it is something to take seriously. But I would urge you to seriously consider looking at the other side of the story. The reality as to why or how, as rare as it is, these teens may develop or young adults may develop this meningitis. And as deadly and as dangerous as it is in reality, according to the article that's referencing the CDC, it affects 1,000 people a year, 1,000 Americans, 1,000 out of a nation of 320 million plus is almost statistically insignificant, which does not diminish those who have lost their life. An average of about 15 babies and 12 adolescents die from it each year. But it's exceedingly rare. There are so many more concerns that I have as far as genuine dangers. And that includes the drugs and the vaccines that they use to either theoretically prevent or treat many of these diseases. Killing far more by orders of magnitude than the actual infectious disease will. And when we look at the infectious disease situation among teens that are eating junk food, are living in close quarters in college universities where you find this happening, or army barracks, but more often than not within the university setting. You find these kids away from home. They've probably been vaccinated recently just to get in college, which sets up their immune system for failure. On top of that, they're eating poorly. They are staying up late. They may be for the first time in their life away from parents and partying, drinking alcohol, who knows, doing drugs, I don't know. The stress of staying up late, studying, cramming for exams, all of these things on top of the close quarters, probably not the ideal hygiene. We've talked nutrition already. It is a recipe for inflammatory infectious disease disaster. What is surprising is that this doesn't happen more frequently, not that it happens at the rate it does. And yes, if it does happen, it's a rapidly moving infection that needs to be addressed and hammered hard with even, oh, dare I say it, antibiotics. If your physician is not adept in understanding how to take silver hydrosol and intravenously flood the system with it, then you may not have much choice and you may need to resort to it. But again, it is exceedingly rare. And on top of that, there are homeopathic medicines and homeopathic nosodes that can be utilized in this case. But the story here is really about the propaganda campaign to get parents so frightened and worked up that they would risk their children being harmed or even dying from the vaccines that they are being given. And in this story, I have it linked up at USA Today. I do. It's at robertscottbell.com. You'll see the story. Picture of a teen, a 16-year-old boy, getting a shot, the HPV vaccine from this nurse who probably, like the story we covered yesterday, maybe records a video and says, well, I haven't killed anybody yet that you know of. Haven't harmed anybody yet that you know of. And this is part of the scare tactics that are leading children into the needles of big pharma instead of to the nutrients of creation, to the probiotics that protect our bodies, because that is where the immune system resides primarily. And there's in this article fascinating oversight, so typical of this, because they say, well, that one shot may not be enough. Your immunity might wear off. We now have to get you a booster shot. What is it about immunity that's wearing off? I mean, if the vaccinologists are attempting to elicit a, what do we call it, an antibody response? We want to trigger antibodies in that body so that that body will not get the disease. What is it if they are successful? If they are successful, what do you mean wears out? Do the antibodies just kind of go, oh, we're tired, we're leaving. Hey, kid, thanks for getting the shot all those years ago, but we are just plumb tired. We're antibodies, and we're leaving. We're out of here. See you later. Is that how it works? That's ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. Of course, the whole idea that an antibody is sufficient to protect anyone from disease is also ludicrous. Case in point, the chicken pox. Yeah, the good old chicken pox. Those of you moms and dads are still intelligent enough to let your kid get chicken pox early as possible. You have the antibodies for the chicken pox virus. They call it the herpes zoster varicella. And later in life, even with naturally conferred immunity, when you are immune depleted, when you are nutrient depleted, when you are stressed out, adults will express that same darn virus and will call it something else. Let's call it shingles. And shingles is very painful, but it is caused by the same virus for which you already have the antibodies for. And I must say this again, because if you are under the illusion, the mistaken impression that the mystical, what do we call these, priestcraft or the church of biological mysticism again, if you're under the impression that they can wave their magic wand and inject it into you to create that antibody and you have lifelong immunity, or, oh, for a few years it wears off, we'll give you another shot. It is an infantile perspective on how the immune system really works. Having the antibody is not enough. It is secondary in the realm of immunity. The primary thing we need to have is good gut ecology, a microbiome, a healthy, vital intestinal tract intact with all the good guys, with all the bacteria and the microbes for which we rely to protect us, to identify these things in the environment, that which are good for us, that which are bad for us, neutralize those threats long before they have access to anywhere in the body. which brings me to the thought form of the college student again. The kid eating junk food again. The kid who has gutted his intestines again because how many times has he been on antibiotics prior for ear infections, for throat infections, for sinus infections, for candida yeast infections, and all of these things on top of the additives, preservatives, colorings, flavorings, foods that are not grown according to nature, and all of these inflammatory components just gutting the gut, damaging the gut, the lining, the epithelial lining, creating these large pockets of availability of transit for these so-called viral, bacterial, fungal, all these so-called pathogenic species to have unfettered access to your innards. This is the problem. The vaccines don't solve that problem. They don't solve that. They make the problem worse. Much of the damage of vaccination actually happens in the gut. The destruction of the flora as well, much like antibiotics destroy the flora and inflame the gut lining as well. Modern medicine is an embarrassment. It's an absolute abject embarrassment in their attempts, in their pretentious attempts to protect you, to protect me, to protect our kids, to defend us from microbes. They actually facilitate the ease of those microbes' transit into our bodies where we are vulnerable to their mass reproduction, infection, or if it's a viral disease, to their mass replication before our immune system even has an opportunity, if it even identified it in the first place, to act accordingly, appropriately against it. This is why the old media is dead. They're dying. They're decaying. They're dangerous because they don't have a clue about these concepts. As far as I know, the person, Liz, that wrote this for USA Today, many teens miss out on life-saving vaccines. She probably believes it. Many of the people who are promoting vaccination, it's their religion. They believe it with a fervor, with an emotional fervor, should you even raise the question, even if your child was vaccine damaged. They'll likely attack you for questioning vaccines at all. Even if you still, and I know there are parents out there with vaccine-damaged kids that haven't come out against vaccines because they still believe in them on some level, but they think, well, we can make them safer. Can we? Can we violate the natural order of the immune system and make our bodies better, stronger, faster, more able to adapt and react? Or is the entire paradigm on which it rests a faulty foundation rooted in pharmaceutical sand that will blow away once the winds, I'd say, of change, but the winds of experience, the winds of holistic health, the winds of holistic knowledge, the new media begins to plant the seeds, as we have for many years now, of a completely different reality. We can curse all the bad guys out there that are trying to vaccinate our children, and they might think they are the good guys, but even in ignorance, when you harm somebody in this way, I can't condone you as a good guy, even if your intentions are pure. And going back to school, as we know, no shots, no school, not true. Even as I would argue against sending your children to government indoctrination centers, I recognize the economic disaster in which we are all living. To greater or lesser degrees, we're all impacted and affected by it. And we have been convinced that we have no choice. And as long as we're convinced we have no choice, we can be controlled, much like the parents who have not heard this message of health, freedom, and liberty, that which is presented Monday through Friday here on Natural News Radio, the Robert Scott Bell Show, and Sundays on GCN, 6 days a week. And we have to balance out the 24/7 pollution of the toxic old media that continues to perpetuate the fear-based lies that the immune system is not something that we can rely upon and trust. We have to intercede. We have to intervene. We have to violate. We have to inject. We have to alter. And all through those processes, the end result is that we may suppress the expression of certain diseases. Not the disease itself, but the expression, which is your body's healthy, vital, and necessary response. If it be to microbial infection, acute infection, to restore balance to the force, yeah, to the force in your body, but to restore balance of function, a fever, A fever is a fantastic thing. God bless the fever. It allows us to strengthen the body through the process of giving an incredible workout to the immune system. And if you've ever had a real fever, as brutal as it's been, and I've told my story, wasn't it Liam that was, oh, by the way, I'm going to have Liam Sheff back on next hour. We've got to talk about some serious stuff as Big Pharma is attacking the rest of planet Earth now that the Americans are starting to catch on to their game. We've got a lot of adult discussion to do a little later in the program. But as I consider this issue of the attacks on the immune system as a way to strengthen it, when the reality is the opposite, by allowing it to do what it's designed to do, that is the way we become strong. Like I mentioned the story of when I was on my 2-year program, if you will. I didn't know it was going to be 2 years to heal from the 24 previous years. And when I called up my mentor in homeopathic medicine and said, Doc, I'm going to die. I've got a high fever. I don't know what I'm going to do. And rather than worrying and fear and making me more anxious and afraid, he said, congratulations. You're finally healthy enough again to muster an appropriate immune response to all that was sitting in your body just waiting for you to become weaker and weaker when it would take advantage of you and destroy you utterly, whether it be in the guise of cancer or something else. And I took a different course in my life, and you can take a different course in your life. Screw predestiny, determinism, genetic or otherwise. Screw that. That is bogus. That is BS. And yes, I'm being very, very direct in my statement because I must, to shake us out of this idea that it's all in your genes, it's predetermined. It is not. We do have predispositions, inherited miasms that will play out should we do the wrong thing, live the wrong way, eat the wrong food, live the wrong lifestyle. But once we adopt that which supports life, that which retains the integrity with which we may have been born or helps us to regain even that which we were not born with, until we begin to live that way, then we may be, in fact, at the whim or at the mercy of the predispositions for which, yes, they do legitimately exist. But they are not predetermined roadmaps without end, without change. In fact, you can get on a different road right now by what you do. But first, you got to understand where we've been. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Also, some interesting stories about mercury and autism. This relates to the genetic predispositions I talk about here. And interesting new findings coming out. As well as some stuff about the FCC, the Fairness Doctrine. You know, if there was Fairness Doctrine, there would be a Robert Scott Bell Show on 24/7 on every network just to balance out all the garbage everywhere else. There would be a natural news in every newspaper around planet Earth to balance out all the pharmaceutical garbage that they're spewing every day. But until then, we don't need the Fairness Doctrine. We just need those of you who are awake enough to realize this is the place you come to for health, freedom, and liberty. And I'm grateful that you're here. The Robert Scott Bell Show rocks on. After this, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355, robertscottbell.com. Coming right back with more powerful healing after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are known to be connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
By the way, moms and dads who haven't woken up to the vaccine issues as we cover them here on the Robert Scott Bell Show and through Natural News as well, you'll be pleased to know that even mercury-free vaccines do contain mercury. That's another story. We'll talk more about that a little later. But there is a story related to this, and since it is back-to-school vaccine month, we, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, we must consider the mercury issue again. And we're finding an interesting story coming from the Southern Hemisphere to warn us up here in the Northern Hemisphere. Mercury link backs autism cause theory. We know mercury plays a vital and crucial role in the creation of autism via vaccination. I am not one who said it's the only thing, but certainly it is a very significant and important thing. It's only the most toxic, second most toxic substance known on planet Earth. And as far as metal toxicology, even in minute doses, it's very nasty. Although we can do it in super minute doses, immeasurable in homeopathic terms, to help pull out some of the mercury in conjunction with some other techniques or methods. And we'll talk about that. But this story, and I have it linked at the blog at robertscottbell.com. It comes through the Sydney Morning Herald, and I've got it linked up there. A family history of mercury poisoning has emerged as a significant risk factor for developing autism. I'd almost call that a moment of duh, because homeopaths have known that. When we have these miasms, they're also bound into metal miasms that they can transmit from generation to generation. Basically, they're acknowledging if there's a history of mercury poisoning, you are more likely to have offspring that are much more sensitive to mercury exposure, including that which is coming in through the vaccinations. A survey by Swinburne University in Melbourne of 522 Australian survivors of pink disease, a form of mercury poisoning common in the early 20th century, found 1 in 25 of their 398 grandchildren aged 6 to 12 had an autism spectrum disorder. That's 1 in 25. That's six times higher than the 1 in 160 diagnosed in the general population. So if there's a history of mercury toxicity, mercury exposure down through the genetic bloodlines, there is much more greater susceptibility to mercury toxicity exposure. It may have to do with the inefficiency with which these children, due to their genetic heritage or predisposition, methylate mercury. That is, bind it and get it the heck out of the body. And that's what we've talked with Dr. Rashid Batar on Advanced Medicine Mondays very frequently about over the many months and years that I've interviewed him, that many of these children are they have a very difficult time detoxing the mercury in these vaccines. And that's not to say that the ones that can do it better, it's a good thing, we should just inject them. No, that's absolutely not what I'm saying here. But this is a clue. Look back, and if you're still on the fence, if you have family members still on the fence about vaccines, and you're saying, "Well, I know it's dangerous, but I'm too scared. I don't know what to do." Well, start tracking back in your own medical history, your family's medical history. Is there a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle? What is it? Somewhere in the family, further up the line, that had mercury toxicity? Because it is more likely that your child would succumb to the disastrous, obvious impact, negative impact of vaccination. Now, the study was published just this week in the Journal of Toxicology and Environmental Health, found that grandchildren did not have elevated rates of other conditions such as epilepsy, Down syndrome, or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So it was specific to the autism connection to mercury. The authors admit they said that they did not validate the autism diagnoses provided by the survivors, but their study added to mounting evidence of a link between genetics, mercury sensitivity, and autism spectrum disorders. They said the research also strongly suggested autism was caused by combined genetic and environmental factors. Now, they'll often try to dissuade you from believing it's the vaccines by saying, well, it's just the genes, right? It couldn't be the vaccine because you had a genetic predisposition. You had a genetic. See, of course, these idiots that say that don't acknowledge epigenetics, don't acknowledge the gene expression being caused by environmental factors. The fact that what you do, what you live in, the filth you live in, the toxicity you're exposed to, the injections that you receive, literally trigger those so-called, as they say it, genetic predispositions, sensitivities. And then they would brush it off and laugh it off and say, well, it's just genetic. We can't account for that. We got to inject everybody. And sorry to the few that are screwed. They're going to get autism. They're going to die. As I come back to the horrors of the whole vaccine paradigm, which is rooted in collectivism. Herd immunity, which is not a proven fact in any stretch. And of course, unless you believe your children are cattle, why would you subject them to these dangerous things based upon the idea that it's collectivism? It's herd immunity. If we get enough of you injected, we might be able to suppress the disease in the general population. Never proven, but that's the way we have to look at it. And if some of the cattle, kids, are killed along the way, well, that's just the price of saving all of humanity, or the rest of humanity, or most of humanity, except for the kids that get autism, except for the kids with seizure disorders, except for the kids who are killed by the vaccines. Never mind them. It's for the greater good, right? Sacrifice the kid or your kid. Are you willing to sacrifice your kid for a greater good that is ill-defined, can't be defined? Is that the way we're going to play this game? No. I will defend my children, as will you. And I am, let me just say it this way, my heart goes out to all the families that have been impacted by these vaccines and the children like Steve's kid, who was taken from him at 22 months old. And let those children not, their experience not be wasted upon us. Let it be a shining light for the children yet to come, or the children alive today, that they might not be harmed by the same barbaric act of injecting children with these horrific toxic medicaments, foreign RNA, DNA. Man, I don't even like to go through this all. But this story is fascinating in that it's acknowledging some scientific observations that are very real, that do not discount the vaccine trigger or the vaccine cause. Only acknowledging that if there's a history of mercury toxicity in your bloodline, your child may be more susceptible. And of course, that means if you go to a dentist that still uses mercury in the fillings, find another dentist. Please find another dentist. And if you have mercury fillings, which they wrongly called silver, please find a way to get them safely removed and replaced with something that is more biocompatible. Because even if it doesn't impact you overtly, you never know how subtly this thing can act against you over your lifetime. Because there are thousands and thousands and thousands of potential effects of mercury in your body, even at minute levels. So what do we do to remove it? What do we do to remove the heavy metals? And for my new listeners, this is for you. For those of you who are catching up to speed, you're going to have to listen to some of my older shows that are available through Natural News Radio, and even beyond that, through my other archives you can link through robertscottbell.com to find. One of the key things for me as a homeopath is to utilize the mercury in homeopathic form. And there are a number of forms of mercurius, as it's called. I would usually go with a 15X. You can do a 12C. You can do a 30X, 30C. I tend to, stay with the lower attenuations in this case because I don't want to trigger a healing crisis or an aggravation, that which is known in medical circles as a Jarisch-Herxheimer event. And if I am going to utilize mercurius or other metals in a comprehensive metal detox, like a heavy metal detoxification formulation,
I am always going to do it in conjunction with liver and lymph drainage support. Now, one of the ways we can impact the liver, of course, is to increase our intake of selenium, the single most incredible trace element in the prevention of many diseases, but primarily because it is the key binding agent. When we talk about metallothionines, when we talk about glutathione, it is selenium dependent. So much of our body is selenium dependent, and so much of our food is selenium deficient. So one of the things I would urge you to do if you have not done so already is to pick up the phone and call Jonathan at choosetobehealthy.com or go to the website and get some of the whole food selenium. He's at 866-424-1077, 866-424-1077, and ask for the selenium and start at least on 200 micrograms daily. For a kid, you can go 50 micrograms, 100 micrograms. It's a simple whole food nutrient form of selenium that even on higher dosages, I have yet to see the toxicity in acute critical care cases where we need to ramp up selenium levels very rapidly. Now, having the selenium present is great because now if we do something like whey protein isolates that are non-pasteurized, like the One World Whey that we talk about with Stephen Huer, now you are going to increase, should you decide to utilize this method, and I highly encourage you to do so, if you really need to ramp up glutathione levels fast. Glutathione critical for cellular detox, metal detox, liver detox. And the One World Whey protein is a phenomenal way to ramp up the glutathione level productions. And so you can go to oneworldwhey.com. Or you can call my friend Stephen Huer directly at 888-988-3325. 888-988-3325. He even sells little starter packets so you can try it out and see if it works for you. It will work, but I understand everybody wants to check it out. So listen, these are the ways we can start, you know, one or two or three ways we can start detoxing the mercury out of the system and other heavy metals and thereby making ourselves stronger. This is true of children who have already been assaulted. Critical first step, Dr. Bitar, we go to. Come on, he's doing, he's getting some aggressive chelation and they're pulling that thing out fast to restore integrity to the children that have been assaulted into the autism spectrum. I mentioned the homeopathy. I mentioned the One World Whey that for the glutathione. I mentioned the selenium. I also want to mention the far infrared heat saunas. These far infrared healing light saunas are able to literally shake out the fat soluble toxins, including heavy metals like mercury, out of the fat cells where they're often stored in the body, sweating them out through the skin, enhancing the ability of the liver and kidneys to handle whatever burden is left. Another great strategy in binding out and removing and reducing the burden, if you will, of the heavy metals such as mercury that are coming in through vaccines, coming in through mercury amalgams, dental fillings still, even today, especially as they hammer the poor people with this stuff, and other toxic pollutants and other heavy metals as well as beyond mercury. These are strategies that are simple to integrate now, going more raw, going more nutrient dense, utilizing more sea vegetation. These things contain the nutrients that can bind out the bad guys, so to speak, get us back on the road to recovery. When we come back from this break, I'm going to talk to you about the fairness doctrine. Is it coming back rearing its ugly head? Maybe you don't even know what that is. I'm going to bring that up because it may impact our ability to communicate with you in the future. So definitely on the agenda. And then later, can you catch fat from your friends? Oh, man, what a story is that? Well, you're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show. We're going to cover that and more. Remember, Liam Sheff's back in studio next hour. We're going to have a blast doing the things that we do as well. On the Robert Scott Bell Show, robertscottbell.com. Once again, I'd like to say a quick thank you to Prepper Podcast Network for also picking up the radio show here, known as the United States and World of Health Talk Radio, the Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind, and yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today, or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com, and you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Oh, righty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's see. How do I cover a story like this? We're in a unique place here with Natural News Radio Network, okay? We're not FCC compliant. We're not FCC regulated the same way. We don't ask permission to do what we do. I mean, I could drop four-letter words on this show, and yes, you might complain. I might complain about it if I did that. I mean, I don't tend to do that, but we could. It's not regulated the same way because we're not, this show is not on a terrestrial radio show. Now, my show on Sunday that I've been doing for many, many years is terrestrial and internet-based, so it goes out to regular radio stations as well. There is a different story. There is something called the Fairness Doctrine that used to be in place before. I think it was the Reagan administration that kind of put the kibosh on it, and that was a good thing Reagan did, because it allowed for freedom of speech where there was none. In other words, if you had a political viewpoint in the media on the left, it had to be balanced out with something on the right. Not that it really ever was, because as we know, in the media, the old media, it pretty much leans left. Now, I'm not making any accusations here. It's just an admission of a lot of the media. That's just where they are. They tend to, you know, play more democratic and socialist in their intent or agendas or leanings. Now, there is a reverse effect now happening because of the backlash of talk radio. A lot of talk radio, the most successful talk radio hosts in America, tend to lean right, so to speak, within the Hegelian dialectic. Now, I will say in many ways they are big government, much like the big government left is. They would not like to admit that they are, but they do, because every year, or every 4 years, or every 2 years, they say, vote for the lesser of two evils. We're not going to grow government as fast as the other guys. Like it matters at this point. AAA, AA, F, fail, whatever. You know, and we consider all of these things as far as the message that you get and realize we have a biased message. Yes, we do. We're biased toward liberty here. We're biased to health freedom. We're biased to natural remedies for reversing disease, cancer, etc. We're biased toward organic whole food nutrition. We're biased toward homeopathy, herbalism, energy healing, whatever natural. And we are biased against pharmaceutical drugs and vaccines. Yes, we admit that. There is no pretense here. I'm honest with you about that. I think you come to expect it and really enjoy that. That's why you listen. I'm tired of the old media. I don't need to hear the garbage the medical mafia's party line spouted out every day. And even the evening news that plays news. It's not news. It's pretend news. It's fake news. It's news written by Madison Avenue PR agents to convince you that, well, whatever they want to convince you, that drugs are good, vaccines are good, and natural medicine is evil and dangerous, and the FDA is here to protect us. That's the kind of stuff that they do. We have to weigh out and balance out all of that garbage that happens 24/7 in that old media. Mike Adams has been doing one heck of a job for many years on the web with Natural News, and the growth of naturalnews.com is testament to people being fed up with the lies of the old media. And darn straight, we are fed up with it. It is time to make a move back toward liberty. And that's why you're here every day. And that's why we continue to grow. That's why we're getting more listeners. And it's an exciting time. It really is. I mean, where in the old media are you going to see this? Like New York Times or even USA Today, where I quoted some article from on the vaccine issue going back to school. Well, Mike Adams writes this very well. First, they came for the raw milk, and I didn't speak out because I drank no raw milk. Then they came for the non-GMO farmers, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a farmer. Next, they came for the home gardeners, and I didn't speak out because I grew no gardens. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. That would never appear in the old media. They probably would ban it if you wrote it in the comment section on the websites of these, you know, old media rags in the non-print editions that they're desperately trying to get you to come to every day. And this is part of what I'm talking about, the balance that is not going to be found in the old media, never will be found in the old media. Yet there's a power play going on. The FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, is that what it's called? The commissioner is warning of a backdoor entrance to the fairness doctrine, which would basically stifle freedom of speech. You know all that talk radio you may know and love? Maybe you don't, but it would be done for because no one would want to do political talk radio. No one would want to do it because if you have a point of view, the government could come in and say, well, you have to hire Joe Schmo Lefty over there, and he's going to talk about something that's going to drive away your listeners. And, of course, there's no model for profitability in that in the old media. You can, or even in the new media, if you're going to have, oh, let's get some milk toast discussion of we're going to balance out the guy that was on before me. And how exciting is that? Would you be turning it off after 10 seconds, 5 seconds? The article starts, though much of the discussion about a possible fairness doctrine for broadcasters went away when Republicans took over the House of Representatives in 2010. One FCC commissioner says there still could be an effort at finding a backdoor to the rules. Commissioner Robert McDowell told Chris Steierwaite of the on Monday's Power Play Live that localism, a proposal that gives the federal government the ability to make sure broadcasters serve their communities, could also be used to wedge in principles of the fairness doctrine. Isn't this interesting? Here we are battling it out for localism, and in this case, the federal government wants to promote localism only in that it could promote the agenda of government, of big government. Isn't that interesting? Or as the church lady once said, isn't that special? The government would be compiling data as to what kind of content you were airing and whether the government thought that was appropriate content. Oh, that's right. The government could be the arbiter of what's appropriate for you and me to be spouting out about, talking about, listening to. It could be political speech, the quote goes. It could be shows on banking or baking or gardening. But we don't know where the government is headed. I mean, honestly, what happens if there's a show on baking? Can they do one on raw food? Would they come in for that battle? Not likely. This is all about politics. This is all about supporting a message of big government against the freedom of the people to know that the government is the great enemy of liberty and the great enemy of health freedom as well, as it has aligned itself with the dark forces of the pharmaceutical industrial complex. And no, that is not an exaggeration at all. And, of course, if you support liberty, if you support the Declaration of Independence, if you dare mention the Constitution, The government may look at you as if you are a potential homegrown terrorist. If you support Ron Paul, and there are more of you every day, you're going to find yourself on the, well, not the good side of the government. Not that that's a great badge of honor to be on the good side of government nowadays. But we got this big thing tomorrow. It's happening tomorrow. The Ames straw poll tomorrow evening. Ron Paul, they say he's moving closer to the GOP nomination. This is good news. In a fair and imbalanced perspective, as we say, we're imbalanced toward liberty. That's an imbalance I can live with. Ron Paul moving closer. I've got a link here. This is amazing. I've said this many times over the recent months, especially. Kind of, you have to come out of the freedom closet, stand up for liberty, and say, yes, I support Ron Paul. Yes, this is the man who would dare attempt to put the big government back into the big constitutional closet from where it should never emerge outside of the confines of the change of the Constitution. And as I said recently here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, that the truth of the matter is Ron Paul is the front runner for president. He is the front runner. There is no other option. Mitt Romney? No. Michelle Bachmann? No, sorry, not happening. Who else you want to throw in there? Tim Pawlenty? No, not happening. He's the only one that called it right so many years ago, has been saying the same thing, refusing to take money from lobbyists. He returns money back to the coffers of the government. Lord knows why. Every year. Because he will not spend more than he needs to just get the job done. Never taken a junket. Never voted for a tax increase. And in fact, he elected the only one to opt out of the retirement, the cushy retirement plan that congressmen have voted for themselves. He doesn't steal. He doesn't believe in theft. He believes in liberty. And Ames, Iowa, if you're listening in Iowa, if you haven't already, I don't know the details. If you can get down to Iowa straw poll and vote, it'll be the shock heard around the world. And they're going to try and play it down, whether he comes in first, second, or third. They're going to try and play it down. That's the old media balancing out the freedom lovers, you dangerous freedom lovers. We can't have you know the truth that we recognize and acknowledge here. That yes, liberty is on the rise. Just as we covered on that Rasmussen poll yesterday, 17% of you, maybe not any of you in this audience, believe that government is acting with consent of the governed. No, it is an anarchy. It no longer acknowledges that there is a law of the land, that there is a constitution. Ron Paul would bring it back out. Yes, he would. And he would not violate it. He would do only that which the powers granted to him under the Constitution in the executive branch as chief executive should he rise to that level in a fair and unbiased election, which we don't know that that will happen either. But in the meantime, we can do our level best to spread and share this message of liberty to all those who are ready to hear it. And even if they're not, even if we annoy them just a little bit, that's okay. They'll get over it. That's an annoyance I can support. That's a, you know, because I know sometimes you say I'm annoying. Yeah, Robert, you're annoying too. Okay, I admit it. I'm in talk radio. What can you can't not be annoying and be in talk radio. At least to somebody, sometime. Come on, somebody I've got to annoy. No, it's not my role or goal to do it, but I realize sometimes it'll happen. And forgive me. Come back, keep listening. There'll be something you agree with eventually. And I'm encouraging you to continue to tell your friends about this and tell your friends about Natural News and Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. When we come back from this break, I've got another story, but this one's weird. This one's kind of about fat, right? I cover stories about fat from time to time. This one asks the question of whether fat is contagious. And we'll find that out after this break right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Thanks for our sponsors. Thanks to you. Remember the number if you'd like to be part of the show, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. Coming right back.
If you're looking for FDA-approved radio, you're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Is obesity contagious? Can you catch it from your friend? Do you need to wear a mask around a person who's carrying a little extra around the middle? This is a story out of the New York Times. How are they still in business at all under their health section? Catching obesity from friends may not be so easy. Wow, really? All the years I've been hanging around, I've got some friends that are overweight. I've never seen them rub off on somebody in that way that, wow, I was hanging around this guy. He was fat. And I was fat too. What was this all about? Is it a virus? Is it a fat virus? What about smoking, loneliness, happiness, depression, illegal drug use? All of these are contagious? Happiness could be contagious. There is an interesting thought here if you think about contagious, because when you say disease runs in family, have you heard that? Disease runs in family. Yeah, that family had a lot of this or a lot of that. They tend not to consider how the family lives, what the family eats. And in fact, that those behaviors are endemic to that family. So they're exposed to a lot of the same things. And so they may manifest the same disease aberrations or other things like obesity. Not because it's genetic, but because of what they're eating or what their parents ate, right? We talked about the mercury issue. Mercury toxicity in your past, in your genetic lineage, could predispose you to a sensitivity to mercury that others don't have. Doesn't mean mercury's good for anybody. Don't get that wrong. But now there's some dispute about this series that said, because it was over the past few years, they said a series of highly publicized studies by two researchers concluded that the behaviors are literally contagious, can be passed on from person to person. So they thought, well, we can change the leadership. It should be possible to curb a behavior like obesity. Is obesity a behavior or is that the result of a behavior? I guess they don't make that distinction. But by focusing on small groups of people who would have them influence their networks, right? So this to me is not unreasonable. If you have somebody that, is inspirational, that you want to emulate, someone who actually has been obese and found a way to undo it, it may inspire others to try that. That's a good thing. But the conclusions of the studies are now drawing heated criticism from other scientists who claim that the study's methodology was flawed and that the original data completely inadequate to estimate the role that contagion, remember the new movie coming out in the fall? Contagion, you will catch it, you will die. Don't buy into that propaganda. But they're wondering, is it real? Is it not? Is it contagious? Quote from the article, I know that many professional statisticians felt it was all bunk from the word go, said Russell Lyons, a mathematics professor at Indiana University, who recently published a scathing review of the work on contagion of social behaviors. The researchers who published the original studies, Dr. Nicholas Christakis, a social scientist at Harvard, and James Fowler, a social scientist at the University of California, San Diego,
say they are well aware of the limitations of their analyses, but maintain that their conclusions are robust. Well, you love these scientific descriptions. Robust reminds me of my swimming years, UCSD. There were some beautiful... Well, no, I'm not going to go into that. Anyway, we have laid all our cards on the table, Dr. Fowler says. We have yet to see anyone who proposed a model that worked better than the one we used. All right, we're getting into some scientific spats here. At the heart of the dispute is an old conundrum in social science. How certain can anyone be about conclusions based on observations of how people behave? And, I think observation is an excellent way in which we can learn. And in many in science don't believe that's possible. We have to have double-blind, placebo-controlled, multi-centered, phase-controlled. I mean, we can go on and on and on. But this idea of obesity being contagious, behaviors can be, in the sense that you adopt behaviors of those you emulate, those you hang out with, those of your family members. But that's not even a guaranteed done deal, because there are always people within family settings that you find, you know, if you have a majority of obese people in a family, there's someone that may come out of there pretty skinny. Why is that? Is it all explained away by genetics, or do they eat differently? Do they eat the same? These are things that we should consider. Suffice it to say that I must reiterate something I've said before, that obesity, or let's say being overweight, in and of itself is not a disease. If you simply love to eat and you're eating whole organic foods, high fat, whatever, and you're not eating processed junk GMO stuff, and you happen to carry more weight than someone of your size and stature or whatever, that is not a disease. Of course, if you go to morbid obesity, that may be the result of a disease, not the disease itself. And it can be the result of gross deficiencies, nutrient deficiencies, people growing up on refined foods. But I come back to the vaccine paradigm, or paradox, I guess you could say. They want to prevent disease, but they destroy the gut in the process of preventing disease, and they create aberrant digestive imbalances. Inability to absorb nutrients from food, and then you are simply going to consume and consume and consume. You can't get enough food. Whether the food you're eating even has any nutrients in it, your body's going to continue to crave, because you don't have enough glucose tolerance factor chromium, for instance, the GTF chromium molecule, that will allow you to convert the sugars from the fats and get them into the cells so you can burn it up. And so your body is in starvation mode, and it just says to accumulate. Anything you can get it in, because we can't get a lot, and there's not a lot in the food. But they don't look at these dietary issues. They look, again, as, you know, it's genes or it's contagious. It's the germ theory. Don't catch the fat germ. And boy, I feel for the people that are, you know, overweight or morbidly obese and are trying desperately to lose that weight. But you've got to detoxify along with the other things. It's not necessarily a caloric restriction in and of itself, although that may be required in certain circumstances. But the reality is, if you detoxify your body, weight will come off. It just will happen. Remember the woman I met at the Nullify Now conference in Austin, Texas a few months back? I mean, she lost 25 pounds. I don't know if it's further. I haven't checked in on her blog in a while. But here's a woman that she did the silver and the aloe protocol to cleanse the intestinal tract, and the weight just started coming off. Because in these obese or heavy set people that are very heavy set, the problem is not necessarily that they're eating too much. They might be eating the wrong thing. But their guts are so imbalanced that they can't absorb the nutrients, and their body goes into a different phase of metabolism that can be corrected by restoring integrity to the lining of the gut and the microbial flora that help us not only from a digestive perspective, but from an immune perspective. Listen, I appreciate y'all being with me here today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We got a great hour coming up next. My dear friend, Liam Sheff, the conspiracy realist, joins me shortly. And we're going to cover a great number of stories, including restoring local economies. We're going to go into some of those things, positive steps you can take. Plus, we'll have to report on some nasty things Big Pharma is doing to our friends over in India as well. And there is a moment of duh, and it relates to fat in food. Oh, my gosh. Stand by. The Robert Scott Bell Show continues after this. But in the meantime, I remind you that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Oh, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
While Ben Bernanke prints out Federal Reserve notes as instructed by Alan Greenspan, as we've covered recently on the Robert Scott Bell Show, we got to cover the realities, the harsh realities of what that kind of lifestyle will lead to. Maybe here in the U.S. where this show originates, but beyond that, the things that we've exported as far as the people of planet Earth and how they've been harmed by these ideas of printing money out of nothing and seeing how abundant we can all be. This abundance, or the clarity about what this abundance really is and what it is not, is something that's not often discussed in polite conversation, certainly not in media, certainly not in radio, and certainly not the way that I do it with my dear friend Liam Sheff, who joins me again this hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Liam, welcome back.
I'm just thinking about Alan Greenspan.
Right.
Do you think Alan Greenspan goes home and puts on a little Al Green and grooves around and says, "We can print all the money that we want.
Print some more, Al. We don't have enough going on out there. Look, the world is still here. We have seen the downgrade from AAA to AA+. We heard it. The world's still turning on some kind of axis. I don't know whose axis. An axis of evil, perhaps, with the Fed in charge. But we're still here. There is some panic out there in the financial realm. But, you know, I talked about this yesterday, Liam. The need to go back to local. The need, you know, we were talking off the air about the time I remember growing up where there were televisions and they were quite expensive. They weren't like the big flat screens now, but they were very expensive. And you actually, if they broke down, Liam, you went to a local TV repair shop. Do you remember those? Because it was so expensive to get a new one, just repair it. Now, the whole of the electronics world is if it breaks, it's too expensive to repair it. It's cheaper to buy a new one.
The TV repairman was an honorable job. I remember the TV repairman would come over, then my mother would disappear for a while. No.
You do look like that. No, never mind.
You look like the postman, sir. No, there were jobs. People were, they were journeymen. They were apprentices. They would come up. You didn't have to go to college to be lied to about 3 million things. You could actually just go and do some work that was useful in the society. For example, you could learn to... You could tune the piano, you could fix the stove, you could fix the car. There were people in neighborhoods who could rebuild engines. Look around in your neighborhood and see if there's anybody who could rebuild one of these engines today.
Anymore.
You could fix the TV because you're not going to go spend $400 for a stupid TV to watch three channels. You just won't do it. You're going to fix it. It's cheaper. It's $20 to fix it.
Well, at that time, of course, we got to go equivalent. $400 may have been equivalent to, I don't know, $1,200, $2,000 or more today.
Yeah.
So again, coming back to Greenspan, why we mentioned that is – part of the inflationary aspect of how things have gone around the world, weirdly enough, it's given us access to more than we could have ever hoped for, but at the same time, in a destructive manner. I mean, I talked about going local again. Find out what you're good at, what other people are good at, because when we can no longer afford to replace an iPad every 4 months or get the latest and greatest, we're going to have to go back to that idea of, like, look what happened in Cuba with the embargo, everything else. They're still putting 1950s cars. They're on the road. They're running. They've become very imaginative and innovative because they've had to.
Well, when necessity being the mother of invention, if we're not able to import cheap things made by small Asian hands, we're going to have to learn to rebuild things. I look forward to, call me a Bolshevik. I look for, no, please don't. I really, please don't. I look forward to the system not grinding to a halt, but slowing down. I don't think we have to be Luddites, and I don't think we all have to be full-time farmers. I don't think that we have to wind the clock back to 1453 or whatever. I think, though, that we live in the world, the electronic age and the electric age. We can actually generate, and you got to listen to it. You got to look this up. See if it's true. We can actually generate electricity in our neighborhoods. What? What you say? No.
Neighborhood? What, with a lawnmower? What are we going to do? Pull it and it's going to generate?
We're going to get all the chubby kids. We're going to put them on bicycles. They're going to ride the bicycles, and those are going to be strapped to a turbine. No, here's what you do. You find, if you live in a very windy area, you build a couple of windmills a little bit outside of somebody's property. That generates enough electricity to feed 20 or 30 houses in a local grid. That's called micro power. You do that 15, 20 times in a geographical area, suddenly you're providing energy for hundreds of homes. Maybe not total energy, but maybe not everybody's using the exact same amount at the same time. Then you put some passive solar, which means you heat the water
right
in your house.
Very easy, very common. In fact, in some countries that in the Middle East, I know in Israel, you wouldn't see a rooftop without some solar panels. And I've been in houses, rented houses over time that had that, and it was just one little bit, but it was significant if a lot of people were doing just one little bit.
Imagine not having to burn coal every day to heat water, to boil water. You boil coal somewhere to generate electricity, to boil water in your basement. You only use a little bit of it at a time. Right, you get the idea. What if we don't have to do all of this at once? At the same time, there's so many wonderful economical innovations or innovations for economy. By the way, it was pointed out to me by a crazy movie, actually. I disagree with part of it, like part of it. It's called Zeitgeist, but the fellow in the movie pointed out the word economy has two meanings. One, we mean the thing, that this mysterious thing in which you can keep printing money and keep
right
it rolling so the iPads keep coming in and the jobs keep going out. Or economy, to maximize the amount of stuff you have, to minimize the amount of extra work you have to do to make things very efficient. So we've got this dual use of economy.
I've likened that word in terms of the law, right? I like principles. I like law, not, you know, legalities and you know, these made-up things that are just kind of designed to trap you or enslave you. But the law of economy is something like the concept of getting the most out of, you know, every drop of gas for the most mileage. You want to get a lot out of a little, right? Homeopathy is a great example of the use of resources that are extraordinary, because you could take one plant, you could take one leaf of one plant, and you can make a million remedies from that one plant without killing it. I mean, maybe you'd have to, in some senses, to use the whole plant, but my goodness, one plant. And we have the ability to go very far on a little bit. And that concept is, you know, is I've learned a lot from living that way. You know, as I mentioned, I'm still riding around in a 93 car, keeping it held together with spit, glue, and Band-Aids. But it gets me from point A to point B, and that's okay. But, I mean, that's the kind of concept of, like, I remember my grandparents, you know, talked about. They lived through a time like the Great Depression. They talked about being very, I don't know, miserly is the right word, but saving things.
Frugal.
Frugal is the right word. Thank you. And there was something that we lost there. The ability to, you know, there was almost a pride that you could take in, look how much I can get out of this. Look how long I can keep it going. And there's, you know, a little bit of, wow, we really worked. And you take a real sense of ownership as opposed to this discard society that has created a lot of pollutants that are very much harming. You mentioned in some of the electronics a lot of mercury and other heavy metals. The wastefulness of these so-called rare earth elements that are now being strip mined out of the earth. Could we be a little bit more? And I'm not about a top-down structure enforcing this. I think we can make the decision to do it. But right now, that decision is being made for us because of the way we've lived. Now we don't have the choice we had before to do it.
These electronics contain things like cadmium and silver and gold, which maybe we shouldn't just be throwing into a ditch with a lot of plastic, maybe. We should be reusing these parts. There are people who have made this point over and over again. I'm going to refer to this movie again, or this series of movies. I take issue with part of it. I think the fellow who made it is kind of worshipful of the scientists without being critical. They're called Zeitgeist. But he points out that a society interested in its own preservation would not be trying to rebuild everything 3 months apart. It would actually be building things so that they lasted as long as they could and had replaceable parts. So the computers that we use now, we know, all of us know, we won't be using in, if we're, I don't know, really careful, 2 years. We won't be using them. If you're just got, if you're flush with cash, you'll get a new computer in 8 months. Why? Because it has a quarter inch brighter, bigger screen.
Something new, a new processor, a 0.1 better, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So I've been looking for cameras, and I was going to all the electronics superstores, what I call little islands of China. I go to visit them.
The beachheads of China, right there in your neighborhood.
Right there in the suburbs. No offense to Chinese people, but this is the strangeness of our economy. I walk in and people are looking over these electronics. I've looked at 30 cameras for some projects that we're secretly doing here in the last little while. And let me tell you, they all suck. They're all terrible. The parts have gotten cheaper. They've gone to bits of technology that you can't use. Touchscreen is now in fashion. You can't have a touchscreen camera because it's supposed to be a button and a wheel, so you don't shake the thing. The art of photography is now dead, but they all have 1,000 modes on them. This will be they're now defunct. They have planned obsolescence.
Yes.
They were obsolete 2 weeks before they hit the market intentionally.
Yeah, that is stunning. We talked about, you know, every 4 months, every 6 months, the new chip, the new product. You're talking about releasing a camera to the market 2 weeks behind its obsolescence, and already the latest, greatest, next one is on the market. And they're basically discounting and putting on clearance the latest item as soon as it hits the store shelves.
And they know we'll buy it because we're rather enamored of new. And I looked, and I really looked carefully because you can be sort of jazzed by, oh, look, it has kitty cat mode. It takes pictures of cats. No matter where you are, it takes pictures. Okay, maybe I'll do that. It takes a mode that blurs the top of the picture and the bottom. Oh, wow. Well, maybe that's neat. And you get past that and you go, wow, that's all Paris Hilton stuff. Like, you know, none of it's real. None of it has anything to do with the reality. It won't last. Mm. It's not somebody you want to sit down and have a long conversation with. It's just fashion. The guts of our society are now based on selling us stuff that we don't need as often as we can be sold it. Instead of going, look, if you like photography, here's a camera. You can change the lenses. You can learn with this thing. You can learn manual modes. Nobody learns manual
focus. Not anymore. Focus, it's all automatic.
F-stop, aperture. Yeah. That's the joy of photography. It's an experimental thing. You're letting light in. You don't need these digital things to do it all for you. The mystery of the world is brought to you in just patches of light as it unfolds inside the camera body. We don't do it anymore.
Have we complicated it too much? I mean, this is the thing, that the dehumanization of the human species and over, let's say, consumption of electronic media, or is it over a consumption of the technology and all the great bells and whistles that it provides? Are they really necessary? We're going to find out. And the reason that Liam and I are talking about this today is simply, you know, in follow-up to some of the I wouldn't call them aberrations, but major shifts in thought forms based on what's happening in the first version of the economy, not the law of economy, but the economy that was artificially created to consume, consume, consume to no end. And that era is coming to an end, and that's not a bad thing. In fact, it's a good thing, because I think we'll be able to restore some semblance of our humanity by going back to some of those things that are important. I mentioned that. Find out what's valuable locally to exchange, etc. Leah mentioned, you know, the TV repairman. My goodness, there are jobs waiting to happen.
Dad.
Hello?
And the TV repair?
Yes. Oh, thank you. There are jobs waiting to happen, Liam. And you never know when he's going to come back in and throw that one out there. But the idea is that job, here I am being all serious. I should have lightened it up a bit. All right, Liam, we'll roll with it. The job.
Dad, can we get cable?
No cable for you. No cable for you. The jobs that are waiting to happen, the abilities are there. They're going to have to be just brought out again. We don't value them because, look, we've priced ourselves out of the labor market. I mean, you don't repair things. You just buy new stuff. And, of course, we talk about gutting things. There's some stories this hour I'm going to cover with Liam about the pharmaceutical industrial complex gutting the people of planet Earth and the people of India and killing them. Is it for sport? I don't know. We're going to find out in just a little while, but I'm so grateful my friend is in studio with me again, Liam Sheff, ReduceTheBurden.org. We're going to reference that today because there's some interesting stories on there I want you to go back to. But the main thing is LiamSheff.com, and he is the conspiracy realist. My good friend Liam Sheff joins me some more after this on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Check it out at RobertScottBell.com. All the links. The number is 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. Special shout out to the Prepper Podcast Radio Network as well, carrying the Robert Scott Bell Show. And of course, you're getting your email updates through naturalnewsradio.com, where you're catching it now, and all the archives are there for your waiting and taking and listening. Thank you for being here. We'll be right back with Liam Sheff after this.
Why do you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show?
Bravery and integrity is amazing, and it's much needed.
I love, love, love your show.
I love the show, like all the things that you're doing with Mike Adams and all the writers at Natural News.
To be quite frank with you, I think the show is the biggest breath of fresh air we've found.
Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as Sovereign Silver and Nordic Naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Scott Bell Show.
The place in media where oppositional defiance disorder is a prerequisite. That's right. The Robert Scott Bell Show continues with my good friend Liam Sheff. We're covering a lot of the economic transitions as well. We've got some stories of the pharmaceutical industrial complex attacking the people of planet Earth. Ah, they attack. Run. It's not. Well, that's why I'm the Godzilla of Health Talk Radio. Maybe we can frighten them back into. Thank you. That's what we need to do. Let it loose, Liam. Now, what can we do? We talk about restoring the economy. There's a collapse. We're in the midst of it. Whether we want it to happen or not, it's irrelevant. So don't start, you know, a lot of times they're blaming the Tea Party. You're blaming the Democrats. You're blaming the Republicans. They're saying Ron Paul wants to see it. No. Enough of that. Let's get back to the root realities and the positive things. What we have already in our capacity to recover and start integrating differently. Whether you're prepared to do it or not, it is time to get there. And hopefully we can help a little bit today, Liam.
You said it. And here's what I want all of us now to become slightly civilly disobedient, and I want us to break our warranties. When, I want us to break our warranties. We were always told, if you open the back of this case, you avoid your warranty. I want us to learn how to break our warranties and fix things again. I'm tired of having to go to certified, authorized resellers and whatever, mechanics who get such giant kickbacks from companies like whoever, you name them. Apple's at the top of my list, but you get the idea. Oh, I can't touch this. This was, oh, you voided the warranty. You tried to fix it yourself. Oh, you tried to replace the battery. We're going to have to confiscate your item, and you're not allowed to shop here anymore. Get out of my face. I want us to go back to those days of the 50s and learn how to fix stuff again. Sure, they're microprocessors, but they've got all kinds of trade schools out there. There are all kinds of bright people in your neighborhood with information about how to fix electronics. The internet is a great resource. We can't machine the silicon to make a new chip, but you can go buy the chip at least. We can buy new chips. And if we don't have to replace motherboards, but we can definitely learn to fix things to get more life out of them. It's entirely possible. People do it all the time. It's all over YouTube. We have to learn how to fix things. There, a young person that I know was trying to find a piece for a video game, and I'm thinking, why don't I go and learn how to do a little electrical wiring? I mean, it can't be that hard to find some discarded piece of junk, rewire it, plug it into the video game, at least see if it works. That's an experiment in itself. That's a project in itself. That may be more exciting than the silly $49 video game.
Than the game itself, yeah. Exactly. Well, you're really calling for some scary stuff. I mean, we're going back to the days when people had the audacity to rip the tags off of mattress pads against the penalty of the full force of some kind of strange mattress law.
Come back with us to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
Yes, we are going there. Whether we want to or not, the reality is that there is a law of economy, and we're rebalancing, we're shifting, we're resetting, and I tend to want to look at it positively. Yes, I mean, I can scream and cry and rant and rave a little bit because there's a lot of injustice. We could see what has happened here, but at the same time, those that are going to suffer the most potentially, Liam, could it be the super wealthy elitist family of planet Earth, that they lose this kind of control with this kind of false economy when people go back to just repairing old stuff?
Oh, they'll hold on to their money, but hopefully they'll hold on to just not quite so very, very much. What is it, 1% of planet Earth owns 40% of the wealth?
Yeah.
If we consider dollars wealth.
Right.
We're full of wealth. We're each full of information. You know, sometimes I freak out and I think, oh, God, what am I going to do for money? I think there's so many things I can do. In a real society, there's so many things I personally can do. I can speak languages, I can teach, I can cook, I can build things. I can walk your dog. I can paint, and I can lift an axe, and I can tote a bale, and I can chop wood, and I can do a lot. And I can learn. I can learn how to fix electronics devices, and I think I'm going to make that part of my work now. I think that's part of my job now. If I'm serious, if I'm serious, I have to say to myself, self, I say, if you're serious about this, you have to learn to do. I got to see how a refrigerator is wired. What if the refrigerator breaks? I don't want to have to go buy a new one. Let me see if I can learn how to fix it. Let me see if there's somebody in my neighborhood and we can form a little repair collective. Because I like the electronics age. I actually like it. I think that we can still live with electricity and be closer to the ground. I think electricity is fine. I don't like nuclear power, but we can generate electricity by putting a windmill near our house.
Yeah, and that message resonates. I mean, of course, I've spoken on this in terms of medicine, right? Bringing it back to the natural world, to the plants, the foods, et cetera, even homeopathic medicines, which are converted from the natural, planetary resources that we have in a very economical way. As we say, use a very little bit of a substance, it can go a long, long way in homeopathic medicine. And so that's another aspect of being prepared for the next realm, because all of the technology, all of the drugs, all of the FDA approvals, has it really gotten us to become better and healthier humans? Or has it sort of mitigated and managed diseases that were created by the same construct that says synthetic molecules are somehow good for us? And so I see a parallel track here, Liam, whether it be in the energy realm, whether it be in the economic realm, whether it be in the medical or medicine realm, we're all going to have to go back and learn the things we thought, well, we didn't have to anymore. Because, well, there were experts that could do it, but the experts may not have done it to our best, healing potential, if I speak in terms of healing.
They haven't really been looking out for us. Economy wasn't job one, nor was safety, nor was reliability. Something else became job one, and it's that thing we talked about previously about cameras. Can you put out another plastic piece of hoo-hoo So it fills the shelves of the Best Buy so that it says new. You know, you go into Amazon.com and look up your old trusty camera from 2 years ago. It's been replaced twice. Was there anything wrong with it? Was it defective? Like, did it take pictures? Was it fine? Yeah, it was fine. What did they add? Kitty cat mode or, you know, Hello Kitty mode. Like, you know, I'm looking at the back of these things and they all have like 18 different picture modes. I'm thinking, all you have to do is put a manual. We need manual focus on life again. We need to be able to set the aperture. We need to be able to work with reality again. I don't want somebody pre-programming everything for me. So the illusion of choice. We live in the illusion of choice. Mm. I want to have to work. Oh, you get what you wish for. But we're going to have to work a little harder for it. But that's okay. I'm happy to grow vegetables. I'm happy to cut them up in the kitchen. I love my macrobiotic studies. I love knowing what to put on the plate to make myself healthy and happy. And it took years of study to get there. Mm. You love healing with homeopathy and silver. I mean, right? You love it.
Absolutely.
It was work, but you love it.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of years prepping to do this. And, you know, it seemingly when somebody from the outside observes it says, wow, you make it look so easy. But it's just like anybody that's practiced even athletics. If people, you know, if you like professional sports, I think the good thing about it is you see excellence in any field or endeavor. That's really a joy to watch and appreciate. It doesn't mean that we can all do that. We find something that we are born to do, what we're here to do. I always talk about this mission focus, mission-driven life. You know, are you here to do something more than push a pencil or a paper? And if that's what you're here to do, fine, no problem. But finding out what that is, it's resetting the value system in our country and our culture. And what concerns me, Liam, is that the so-called former third world, as it used to be called, I don't even know what they call it anymore, but they've looked at us for many years or generations now and said, wow, could we be like that? I mean, honestly, they look at us as if we're coming from the aliens from planet whatever, Zimbabwe, whatever, and they can we have some of your technology? Can we be like you? I remember like it was yesterday, going to West Africa twice. I went to Nigeria and Ghana. And I met with the healers there, the doctors there, a lot of medical doctors as well. And my message to them was simple. Reject what we have done in the West. We have really destroyed the art of healing. We have basically replaced the medicines of our ancestors with synthetic molecules that are poisoning us and creating other kinds of diseases. We've destroyed the food. And do I sound overly negative? But, I mean, they were shocked to hear that. Here's this white kid from America coming there and going, don't listen to us. Take me to take me to the bush, as they call it. Take me out into the bush. Let's save the medicines of your ancestors. Let that not ever perish, because that's where we're all going to be going back to anyway. Now, we have Big Pharma exploiting these so-called third worlders from other countries around Asia and India, where they're saying, we now need therapy naive because the Americans are on to us. They don't want to participate in our drug trials, or it's too expensive, or the regulations are too onerous. We can go to India and we can just start experimenting on them there. And, we'll have our, I don't know what it's, our pharmaceutical cake, and they'll eat it, or everybody will eat it too. I mean, this is what concerns me now, the export and exploitation of what we have done, because they're going to say, hey, it's cool. Now we can have it.
It's almost like you're saying that pharmaceutical companies are looking overseas for innocent people to test drugs on. And that out of sight will be out of mind. What if something goes wrong overseas?
Yeah, well, indeed. And I've covered a number of stories like this over the past few years. In fact, now there's an update here that has just come out. And I've gotten a link through SaneVax at SaneVax.org. And this is, they call it like it is. They say, Indian sitting ducks as drug trials turn fatal. I mean, basically, it's a horrific title, really. The Indians now, India, in the last 4 years, 1,725 persons have died in clinical trials. And this builds on the human papillomavirus vaccine. We talk about the Gardasil, Merck's Gardasil. Now they're saying, as we start this article, for the first time since 2010, when six tribal girls from Gujarat and Andhra Pradesh involved in the clinical trials of anti-cervical cancer HPV vaccine died, the government now has admitted that 1,725 persons have lost their lives to drug trials in the last 4 years. I mean, this is horrific. Why would a government stand by and allow their people to be slaughtered this way?
In India?
Well, I guess in anywhere, because we've seen it here. The FDA allows it, or has allowed it for a long time, just with a drug approval process.
The names come out of history. Tuskegee, Mangala, Incarnation Children's Center. If they're black, brown, or poor, you more or less get to do what you want with them. It's a strange and horrible reality of history. It was the Pope in the 15th century who said to the King of Portugal, or King and Queen of Portugal, he said, in a papal bull, a papal encyclical, you can take Africa, you can enslave them if they don't convert to Christianity, and really even if they do, because they're lesser than we are. This is part of the European inheritance. Whether you reject it or accept it, it's actually well understood that the papal bull pertaining to Africa, it was called a bull because it was sealed with a ball of wax, the papal bull pertaining to Africa gave Portugal, the king and queen, the royalty of Portugal, the right to enslave all Africans. We really haven't moved very far since then. We don't necessarily put metal chains around people's necks with spiked collars so they can't take them off or move, and we don't whip them to death anymore. But the new international imperial force is pharmaceuticals, Western Sure. pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
We even have, I think, gatekeepers or useful idiots on this side, like Bono and Oprah and...
Yeah, the celebrity idiots. Let's just call them what they are, because they have just basically, if they have a faculty for higher cognition, thought forms, questioning, they've kind of just, you know, and Oprah's, she's a questioner, right? She's even done some holistic stuff I give her credit for on her show. But yet she still props up this pharmaceutical construct with AIDS and other diseases.
She's clearly a remarkable human being to have accomplished all that. But yes, she doesn't say, science, we're worshiping at this church of science. Science, what we call science, has really just replaced the old thing we used to call priests. So what do we get out of it? We go over to India, the United Nations Population Fund, so active through the latter half of the last century and this century, has funded large-scale projects in Gujarat, in other areas of India, and given money, little bits of money from our point of view, maybe it would be maybe $50 or $70 in our money, to let doctors, local doctors, plunge holes in women's abdomens and tie their tubes. They call it a surgical laparoscopy, in order to prevent what? Overpopulation? Does that sound so strange? I mean, imagine that you're walking in downtown Cleveland or Los Angeles, and suddenly there's just an open square or a cement area of the city, and there are blankets all over, and there are women just passed out, and they've just got a few stitches in their abdomen. You go, what are you people doing here? Well, we're getting $50 to have our tubes tied.
Oh, my God. This is horrific. We've got actually images I'll link to. We're going to take a quick break here. Liam Sheff is my guest. We're talking about the transformation changes on planet Earth economically, physiologically, pharmaceutically, etc. Fascinating discussion. And we want to talk more about the sterilization effort in India and what that means for us here. And I mean spiritually, that we've exported this. Stand by. Coming right back on the Robert Scott Bell Show after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only five-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones and any HRT? Don't wait. Get my five-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us, 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Many people have heard our ads on the benefits of truly undamaged whey protein, but they still do not believe there can be such an immense difference between heated whey and unheated whey. So I'd like to direct your attention to the comparative photos of two cows. The website address is too long to say on the radio, so please go to oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com and download the free report on the miraculous health benefits of unheated whey. In this report is a website address that shows the comparative photos of two cows. The cow fed cooked milk looks sick compared to the cow fed raw milk, which looks healthy. Seeing is believing. I was never a fan of protein powders in the past until I was introduced to One World Whey. Now I know that the special means of processing whey to preserve what nature put into it has never been achieved until now. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert Ryan.
He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's a brave and a decent man. He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
I'm looking at some horrific images right now, and if you're on the or listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show live, or even if it's recorded, this is the nice thing about the web. The positive thing is that you can actually link to this anytime 24/7. You've got to see this. And this is off of one of Liam's website called reducetheburden.org. And it's about what he was talking about as we went to break. Indian sterilization camp photos. These photos were taken by Nick Rain. I guess he's a photojournalist. He captures this from all over the world, these images. And Liam got permission to post these up at reducetheburden.org. I've got the links up at robertscottbell.com. So check that out. But what you described, Liam, is not an exaggeration. It literally is that. These women lying down in fields who have just had abdominal surgery. Now, albeit laparoscopic surgery is less, if you could say it, it's not as big a scar. It's not as big. But my God, they're opening these women, tying their tubes, and then they're just lying out in the field. Well, they've been given a couple of months' money for this?
Yeah, more or less. And these are international programs paid for by us and the Western European countries who believe in the UN Population Fund. This all sprouts, I was talking about the papal bull relating to Africa, relating to the Americas. This relates to a sort of a later Crusades project. And there was a, I almost called him a researcher, there was a priest called Thomas Malthus in England who made a thesis that the greatest worry in the world would be that Africans and Southeast Asians would essentially breed too much. Now, as India was extending its empire, right, 1800s, getting India the jewel in the crown, as it was called, thought went to these other people of the world, the non-English. It's not like the English hadn't fought the English for 800 years. It's not like before that everybody in Europe hadn't tried to kill everybody in Europe. Now they had a common outsider, right? The skin's a little darker, the nose is a little different. They put a dot in the middle of their heads to represent, oh, well, they're clearly worshiping some savage thing. So these are suddenly other people. It was okay then to look at them as base, as animal. Darwin looked at them at some points as animals. Even Adam Smith, who was essentially the economic founder of this country, the United States, believed to some degree that there were lesser groups of people. Aldous Huxley talked about it in his book Brave New World. It's a thread that we carry with us. It's as old as sand and as modern as the Hello Kitty camera. But Nick Rain, a guy I wrote, he has these remarkable pictures up on Flickr. I wrote him. I said, is this recent? Yes. This is a laparoscopy open field waiting not to die area where women got a little bit of money in India as part of this UN population control and other Western endeavors to get Indians to stop having so many children. There's no other way to say it. They want Indians not to have children very often.
It's terrific to see these images, to recognize that I call this dehumanization. It's like the animalization of the species. And You know, I talk in terms of consciousness. Yes, there are times in history, and a lot of history, filled with this perspective that one group or sub-race of the human race was higher or lower, or, you know, this or that. And, of course, a lot of that has shifted over time, but there's always going to be people that have that viewpoint. Of course, aliens can come down from another planet, look at us, and go, well, we're animals. I mean, it could happen to us. I mean, that's, you know, what I call maybe a karmic loop. And at a certain point, perhaps we can wake up and start treating each other humanely. And that's a difficult task, because those that claim to be, for instance, I'm going to bring it in terms of the Hegelian dialectic momentarily in the political class in America, on the left and the right, you know, the right has been accused of being warmongers, and I would agree in many ways that they have, if we talk Republicans, but yet we have Obama here in now supposedly on the left and part of the Democratic Party, and they have been equally either quiet or cheerleading the increasing or the escalation of warfare on planet Earth. So those that claim to be so enlightened to help the poor people, right, whether it be here in America or elsewhere, are also the same people that are cheerleading the destruction of these places where they say, well, it's for humanitarian purposes. Well, what humanitarian purposes serve by indiscriminately collateral damage killing women, children, pregnant women, you know, at the same time being claiming to be pro-life here in America? These are the things that are very difficult and uncomfortable to have to look at, but they must be pointed out so that these people can, you know, we can stop that kind of damage infliction, both at home and abroad, that is occurring.
Now, we're referring to an article which was just released, and the Indian government, I suppose, admitted that some 1,700 people died in the last few years in pharmaceutical studies. The word on the official story is that it's always there to protect officials. That's my line. You can quote it as much as you want. Anytime that anybody gives you a number and they're officials, you can multiply by four,
right?
Sometimes
so 400. If they're admitting 2,000 approximate deaths in 4 years, I'm guessing it's probably over 10.
Sure.
Who's going to know? It's India, right?
Right, because so many people die. Now, look, if you're a good comparative historian, you'll say, well, how many people died in the schism over Pakistan and India? You're talking tens of millions. I mean, you're talking an outrageous number of people. And you can say, well, this is nothing. The pharmaceutical companies aren't so bad. Or you can say, how many people did the Indian government kill or displace from their homes and building the Narmada? Excuse me.
The Narmada Dam.
The Narmada Dams in northwest India. Well, thousands, hundreds of thousands have been displaced. But this is our business. This is the UN Population Fund going over there, tying people's tubes and saying, you're going to now be pincushions for our drugs. And if you die and when you die, we're not really going to report it. This happened. Dr. Jonathan Fishbein, who used to work at the NIH before he was fired, raised his hand about trials going on in Uganda with a drug called nevirapine.
Right.
Nevirapine's a drug which is great to take if you hate your skin and also hate being alive, because it will get rid of both problems for you. It'll peel your skin right off your body. The Uganda trial didn't record toxic effects is anything different than the endemic poverty. And Fishbein looked at this and said, you guys can't be serious. How are you keeping records? And they said, no, we're serious, and you're fired. He got whistleblower status and fought, but he was mostly gagged if he ever wanted to work again. And I worked with him closely for a period, and he eventually sort of quietly bowed out and said, no, I need to protect my family.
I can't continue on, or it'll destroy my family. Yes, I've heard that story time again. I covered the Fishbein story years ago as well. And it's, you know, a fascinating and sordid tale, because a lot of the people that were guilty of, I would call it murder in Uganda, were not fired, were not brought up on charges after this. They were actually brought back into the NIH, what they called at the time, I think, Office of Alternative Medicine, which eventually became NCCAM. And at that point, they were reassigned to a study that my friend Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez got a grant for, that was conducted at Columbia University in New York, about his method for curing pancreatic cancer. And they absolutely sabotaged this. They could not have an alternative nutritional regimen cure the most devastating fast-moving cancer. So all of this is all tied together in this regard, and it's attempts to weaken the population, lower the consciousness, enslave the people chemically, economically, et cetera, et cetera. These patterns are emerging among the elite of planet Earth, and they support it. They wink and nod it, or they downright, you know, say, we got to continue this way, even if we have to hide behind it. This has got to continue, and this is what we're talking about. Reestablishing sanity in the human race is by vanquishing that kind of behavior on planet Earth, if it is at all possible. I don't know if it is.
I don't know if it is either. I suppose as we face, we are now most certainly in the beginning of the big downturn. What did you call it before? The spiraling black hole leading to the bottom of the sea. What
the
is
vortexinal the downgrade?
We're in that thing that people have been talking about. Michael Rupert calls it collapse. We're in the beginning of collapse. You can see it happening. You can see the stock market flinching. Sure, it'll come back up again like Rocky for a few rounds, but it's going to be beaten down until it's no longer the fighter that it once was. We're going to have big, big, big problems. In the midst of that, we're going to reach out to each other. Either we're going to line up and go into Alex Jones's FEMA camps. And you know what? I can't tell you that there aren't FEMA camps. I can tell you to be careful.
Yes.
The FEMA camps is close, by the way, as your local Walgreens. When they say, come get vaccinated, there's your FEMA camp.
Right there, and you volunteer. Oh, yeah, Walmart's offering it for free. 2-for-1 film processing, too.
Yeah. Come on, Grandma, get another shot. Oh, what doesn't kill you doesn't, you know, it may not actually make you stronger, and it may not kill you in one day.
And by the way, part of that oppositional defiance disorder or civil disobedience was a story I covered yesterday right outside the drugstore where they're shooting you up with these vaccines. You know, that we're having the people, moms, warrior moms and dads now funding billboards that say no shots, no school, not true. I mean, literally deprogramming. The people are doing it.
That's great. No shots, no school. This is not true. You don't have to inject your children with monkey kidney protein and mercury. Oh, that lies hit the front pages again, too. We didn't take the mercury out of vaccine, right?
That's right. You know, they admitted, and that's one of the things I found out early on in that phase when they said, oh, well, look, we got the mercury-free, mercury-free vaccines. And then I talked with Dr. Batar shortly thereafter and a few other of my doc friends, and they said, well, no, not true. We had some batches tested. In fact, one of the batches tested 4 times the level of thimerosal, and it claimed to be thimerosal-free. So the reality is many of the subcomponents are still preserved with mercury, so it's a complete lie. Not even subtle. It's completely a lie. Now it's coming out.
They meant the mercury was free.
Ah, the mercury was free. We didn't add anything to that, any charge to that. It was actually included in the price.
We'll destroy your life for a small bonus. So we're talking about India. We're talking about history. We're talking about people getting rewards for bad behavior. Forgive me, but I just flashed back to FBI agent Colleen Rowley, who was trying to track people who were clearly up to bad business in this country before that sacred day of September 11, 2001. And she said, these guys are planning something. These guys are planning something. These guys are planning something. She had everything lined up to do the investigation. She was thwarted at every turn. She complained after the day, after that bad Tuesday, and the guy who impeded her, her boss at the FBI, was promoted. So look up Colleen Rowley and FBI. It just makes me think that in this world, if you see somebody doing bad getting promoted, you have to assume there's an unseen hand at work there.
Yeah, especially in government and pharmaceutical work and CDC and WHO. Those who have blown the whistle are attacked as if they are literally the terrorists for which we have been conditioned to believe are really the dangerous ones, when the reality is the dangerous ones are operating in government and attacking people like the Rossum, that they're part of the Rossum Buying Club. You know, those that have stopped asking permission, that stopped requested licenses to do that, which is their birthright. And that is really the story here of the people waking up and going, my gosh, all I need to do is pull the plug. I covered a story yesterday. 17%, it said, of people in this Rasmussen Report poll believed that government was operating with consent of the governed. Less than 2 out of every 10 people believe that there's consent going. I mean, so the illusion is gone. Now it's just a matter of what do we do when we realize we're way in the majority here, not the minority anymore.
We're 80%. And if this India story and all of the story of forced or nearly forced sterilization seems, oh, I don't know, a bridge too far for this country, I ask you to go look into the financing of, and again, I'm agnostic on this issue. I'm, I suppose, functionally pro-choice in the sense that it's not my decision to make decisions for you. But go look into the funding for Planned Parenthood and go look into which neighborhoods they most, rabidly patrol and enforce. Look at the funding for population management programs in the poor neighborhoods versus the wealthy neighborhoods. You have to say there is a trend in the human species to try to get poor people to have fewer kids, as though our business shouldn't be making sure that the food that we grow isn't burnt or stuffed into factory farmed cattle. No, our job is to keep human beings from having kids. It's a little backwards, isn't it?
It is. Well, we're going to take a break here. We're going to lighten up the mood a little bit. This has been an intense discussion, but a very important one. Not often can you tune in. I mean, I'm listening to this, and I'm going, dude, I want to hear this again, because this is the thing that should be discussed on, you know, NPR. What do they cover? Do they offer solutions at all? Do they discuss these things this way, Liam?
NPR, funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, Johnson & Johnson, AT&T, MCI. This is NPR.
That answers my question. That's why you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show here. More with the conspiracy realist, my good friend Liam Shep, after this, and including a story so absurd but yet so rooted in science, it could only be called today's moment of what?
Oh.
Stand by. We're coming right back with it.
Giving the pharmaceutical industry cardiac arrest.
Clear.
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here, inviting you to check out the Natural News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it, because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
In the health world through the power of radio, it's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hey, if you hadn't noticed, Liam's a smart guy, my buddy there, the conspiracy realist. Sometimes the egghead headache can transpire. We can go far. We can go really far afield and cover so many things as we do. And I love to do that with you, Liam. But sometimes there are some scientific egghead journal stories that come out. They're amazing in their. You mean somebody paid for that? And you know, this is one of those times. We have one of those stories that we have to cover right now. And it is known as
Moment of Duh.
What are you people? On dope?
Amalgamated Association of Morons. Local 6 and 7-8.
You're crazy!
No.
What is your major malfunction?
Yes, Liam, today's Moment of Duh is brought to you by a scientific discovery so amazing that it can only be a moment of duh. Did you know that reaching for fatty treats really does make you happier? Could it be?
Did you call me an egghead?
Did I say egghead? Well, no, not really, because you haven't shaved. You're a scruffy egghead. Who called me a scruffy nerf herder?
How dare you, sir? How dare you, sir? Can you read the read a little bit from this article?
This is amazing. Comfort foods really do lift our mood, according to scientists. A breakthrough research that found eating fatty treats such as ice cream or chips somehow makes you feel a little uplifted, a little happier. What is it about the fat? Of course, they don't talk about the differences in fats here, but they say this is a real breakthrough. This came out of Belgium. The breakthrough findings, the first to unravel physical secrets behind emotional eating and could give doctors insight into the causes of eating disorders and obesity.
Comfort foods are comforting, scientists say.
Exactly. That's basically it. Comfort foods are comforting. Potato chips make you happy. Of course, these are short-lived, you know, because we would differentiate between types of fat, but they never seem to do that. I mean, all the smarts that they have, how is it possible that they miss that? They're feeding these people fatty liquid or saline liquid. It sounds really nasty, actually, what they do.
They feed them through a tube. This has nothing to do with food. They're so crazy, I don't even know where to begin. Number one, they don't say, by the way, we don't know what we're talking about. Strip us of our degrees because we're crazy. We're stealing your money. We're exposing people to pictures of sad people, people with sad expressions or whatever. Sort of like that scene in Clockwork Orange. So they're making people...
And sad music, too.
Yeah, they're making people watch uncomfortable stuff. Listen to sad music. Then they pump through people's veins either saline solution or fat. They actually pump fat into people's veins, and they think that has to do with what you eat. And potato chips. Now, what kinds of fat? Essential fatty acids. Why are they important? Because we're made of them. Your brain is made of what? It's made of fatty acids. Your brain, your nervous system is coated. The myelin sheaths are fat. Fatty acids, the idea that we should eat low-fat or non-fat diets was invented in a crazy, 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 crazy country called the United States when people were eating too much sugar. You don't take away the fat, you take away the sugar.
Right, right. And this is something that we can observe, we can see, we can say, you know, like people call these comfort foods, they're fatty foods, but they rarely differentiate between, as you say, the good fats, the bad fats, so to speak. I remember a friend of mine from years ago, he was the fat guy, the fat expert, and people used to call him fathead, and he took it as a compliment because he knows the brain's full of fat. If you're not a fathead, you're in trouble. You likely don't remember who you are. You have Alzheimer's. You've been on a statin drug for years or decades, which is what we're doing. We're precipitating through science or scientism, as you say, Liam, the proliferation of forgetfulness of Alzheimer's because we are fat phobic and we're purposefully lowering fat and cholesterol in the body with drugs.
And let's jump into there. Listen to how this works. We're going to pump fat, and we don't know what kind of fat, by the way. We're going to pump fat into people's veins as opposed to saline solution. Then we're going to make a lot of assumptions. What assumptions? That eating potato chips is actually good for you. Then they say at the end, don't feel guilty. Don't eat too many, but don't feel guilty. Guilty? Why should you feel guilty for eating? What planet are these people from? But let's talk about what potato chips are. Potato chips are bad, usually rendered fats, hydrogenated oils at extremely high temperatures, which damage and alter the fats so they are no longer useful by the body. They are now toxic. Mm. So having a good fat in your body versus a potato chip fat, something carbonized. And
can I have a little acrylamide with mine?
Gesundheit, exactly. That's what they're – it's not the same thing eating ice cream. Dear Lord, what they put through those cows, then they freeze it. Your body has so much work to do to get anything out of
right.
this stuff. Mostly, it just rots because of the sugar digests first.
By the way, I have this story linked up as we do all the stories that we cover here on the Robert Scott Bell Show at the blog at robertscottbell.com. And you see this beautiful model woman with gorgeous eyes and voluptuous, and she's eating potatoes. She's like, well, I want to eat potato chips with her, right? This is the response that they got. It's a scientific study, but my gosh, they got to throw a hot model in there.
Yeah, and she's looking to the side like, oh, is anybody watching me eating these potato chips? Because it's a shameful thing to do. We Americans have become so afraid of eating good fats that we'll starve ourselves. I watched this my childhood growing up. All the women that I knew, my mother included, oh, we're not supposed to eat fat. We're not supposed to eat fat. Bam, midnight, ice cream. You know, you fall apart at a certain point because your body says, hey, this fashionable idea you have of not eating good oils is not going to work. So if you don't have any good fats in the house, I'm going to force you over to the freezer and you're going to eat half of this thing of ice cream because I need the fat.
Well, your homework, should you choose to accept it tonight, is Have some essential fats. Have some good omega-3 fats, the healthy fats that you need. You'll be happy, like Liam.
Yay. flax, chia, and good nuts and seeds raw. You know, if you roast nuts and seeds, you do break and alter the fats. Also, remember, homework, learn how to fix an iPad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Homework, learn how to fix that iPad. Liam, thank you for joining me in the second hour of the Robert Scott Bell Show today. Always a blast to have you on board. Tomorrow, we've got some more science-based herbal plant medicinal type medicine. We're going to have some fun with that as well. Remember, 866-939-BELL if you'd like to be part of the program. RobertScottBell.com, NaturalNewsRadio.com. Once again, thanks as well to the Prepper Podcast Radio Network. And the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.